Hey, welcome to the stream, the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. What else do we call this?
Two Broke Girls.
I cannot believe that show lasted so long.
Yes.
It's in syndication. It's on like every channel.
I know.
Anytime I turn the TV on, I see them.
Yep.
How?
I don't know.
Who watched it? Who thought it was funny?
It was on for 5 or 6 years, so somebody was enjoying Two Broke Girls.
Yeah, the Two Broke Girls.
They loved it. I bet by the end they weren't even broke anymore because they made so much money. I bet.
That's a travesty.
Wendy, last night I watched the single most politically incorrect thing I have ever seen on television in my life, and I loved it.
Blazing Saddles?
No, I've seen Blazing Saddles a bunch of times.
Oh, this was the first time? What was it?
It's a show that Alex Zalbin told us about a week or so ago. It's called Historical Roasts.
Oh.
And it's Jeffrey Ross, a guest. We had Jeff on our show one time. He's very, very funny. So the premise is, much like your celebrity roast that you've seen a bunch of times, either the old Dean Martin roasts or the modern day ones that they'll have for Charlie Sheen or Justin Bieber.
Rob Lowe's was the best.
Rob Lowe's was very funny. So they take people from history, and then they have other historical figures, and it's set up just like the old roasts. Although, you know what's funny is, the people in the audience, they also dress in the period of whatever the roast
That's
is.
That's really cool.
So last night I decided I think there's 8 of them right now on Netflix. And I had heard from several sources, including my old dad, my own dad.
Your old dad told me.
He said, you need to see this. I go, how great is it? He goes, oh, you need to see this. So I watched it, and I purposely picked the one that I felt would probably be the most edgy of the ones. Like, I was tempted to get the Abraham Lincoln one comes up first, and I go, that one's going to be good. But then I went down the line of the other ones that they had, and I chose, because I knew that the Anne Frank roast was going to be a sight to behold. Because everything about it is wrong. Just the mere idea that somebody thought of it. Just the fact that guys sat in a room and went, well, we could do this, we could do that. Well, how about Anne Frank? And somebody went, yeah, let's do an Anne Frank roast. So keep in mind, when and if you watch this, you're going to hate yourself for laughing, but it's really, really funny. It's as dark can be, but it's really, really funny.
See, now I find that to be offensive.
It is so offensive.
But here's why. I'm just looking at the Netflix website, and this is on Netflix, Historical Roasts. Abraham Lincoln, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
A lot of history with that guy.
Yes.
Freed the slaves.
Sure
a lot of
did.
Things that we can, I guess, roast him for.
Right.
Freddie Mercury is another one.
That's an interesting choice. Now, I haven't seen, so I can't comment, but you're right. Please read the roster of the other people.
That's what I need to compare. So you have your Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
Your Freddie Mercury.
Yes.
Martin Luther King Jr.
That was the tough one. I was trying to decide between Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King Jr., and Anne Frank.
Anne Frank is the worst.
It would have to be.
I mean, come on.
It would have to be.
Then there's Cleopatra. That's probably great. Muhammad Ali. Strange.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll be entertaining, but I wanted something.
And Freddie Mercury, quite honestly. It's historical.
It's an odd choice.
I'm thinking more.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Ben Franklin.
Right. Right.
Really?
Well, at some point.
Betsy
they're going to have to go with those, right? That's who, if this gets picked up for a second and third and fourth season.
By the sound of the Anne Frank thing, I don't know if it will. That's terrible.
Everything about
it's really
it
funny,
is
isn't it?
So wrong. And I was in the room alone, and I felt guilty. No one was in there
around?
With me. Yes. Yes. I'm like, oh. I feel awful for dialing this up on my internet service. But boy, is it funny.
I did the same as you, Bill. I picked the Anne Frank one. I knew I had to watch.
Can I tell you who the guest stars are?
Yes.
All right. So Jeffrey Ross comes on, and he's... Now, keep in mind, I know as I'm saying this, if you're on the fence, you're going, why would you watch this? He's dressed as a prisoner he's wearing the stars that the prisoners of war wore. you know?
Yeah.
So he gives a little history about Anne Frank and introduces the other panelists. Anne Frank is played by Rachel Feinstein, who we've had on the show.
She's funny.
She's very, very funny. She doesn't say anything until the end. You know how on the celebrity roasts, they let all the people come up and blast them, and they come on for the final word. So she just sits there in her Anne Frank attire and sometimes feels like she's being slighted by the fact that she's being roasted. But other times, she's just laughing because it's really just awful. So the guests that they have on include Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who is played by John Lovitz, also a guest on our show. God is one of the panelists.
Do you know who plays God?
Yeah, it's Fred Willard is God.
Oh.
It's very funny. Don Rickles is a panelist, played by his daughter Mindy Rickles, which is just strange.
Is she funny?
She's funny, but it's strange. I would have gone with another. I mean, Don Rickles is Don Rickles, yeah. So he's going to bring it regardless. But that's the one, you know my love for Don Rickles.
Know.
I almost wish they wouldn't have included Don in this because it was distracting seeing his daughter play Don Rickles. But
well, who else could have done it? Like an Andrew Dice Clay? Would you have been bothered by that?
That would have been funny.
All right.
I would have gone for another person from that era, you know? Like, I'm saving the worst for last. Adolf Hitler is,
of course,
a panelist on this roast. And he's played by our pal Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert doesn't know what is going on. He gets himself in trouble. I'm sure he jumped at the chance.
He comes out.
Oh,
so he's Gilbert. Dressed, of course. He looks exactly like Adolf Hitler, except he's wearing a version of Adolf Hitler, like a summery version. He's wearing shorts and knee socks, still with the Nazi logo. And he comes out and he goes, "I'm Adolf Hitler. Please hold your applause." Which is just so sick. And he does jokes about Anne Frank, like, "I've known her since she was this tall." And he holds out his hand in the, you know, in the Hitler. Believe me.
You're ashamed of yourself, aren't you?
I was ashamed of myself
for still
watching
funny.
It.
But
here's what it was. I thought about this later on in bed because I couldn't sleep because I was too upset. I thought to myself, the society that we live in now, it's never been more politically correct, and maybe with good reason, and maybe not with good reason, but you can still find little pockets like this, where despite the fact that we are living under the most politically correct times, some people are still breaking that rule. There's still people out, and I'm glad, because there needs to be that kind of, I know it's offensive, it's so horribly offensive.
Well, I mean, I don't know how to put this without sounding horrible, but just because you laugh at something that's funny, even though it's inappropriate, that does not make you a bad person.
I don't think
or
it does.
A racist
no.
or
no.
a homophobe or anything.
I'm laughing at the audacity that in today's society where everybody is so ultra careful, a group of people went, "We don't care. We're doing this anyway. This is funny stuff, and we're doing it." And it's so backwards and so funny at the same exact time.
I mean, I watched The Preacher, and I think that's coming back soon, and I'm very excited about it. And Hitler is in The Preacher.
Hitler's in The Preacher, too?
Oh, yeah.
He's working steadily.
And you know, he's not a good guy. We're finding that out. Hitler's, you know.
As it turns out, Hitler's something of a villain.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, and you really should. You would love The Preacher.
I saw the first episode and liked it a lot. It just somehow fell apart on me. I don't know why.
It's so good.
Because I watched it, and I should watch this. I know.
Well, give it another chance if you need something to binge, because I think it starts again. The new season starts on FX. But I shouldn't be liking something that Hitler is in, but I'm not giving money to Hitler. I'm not supporting Hitler. And it's different because this is a drama. It's not really a comedy. But still, I feel almost guilty. Like, why would you watch a show that Hitler's in? Why would you laugh at something Hitler said? It's not Hitler. You're not supporting Hitler. You're watching a funny thing.
I have thought about this forever. Mel Brooks, when he did Springtime for Hitler in The Producers.
Did you see that? I didn't see it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it many times.
I have not.
He knew that people were going to be incensed by it, but he also knew that it was really funny. And when you watch it, you say to yourself, what exactly am I laughing at? You don't, there's nothing about Adolf Hitler that's
right,
funny.
Exactly.
Adolf Hitler's the exact, the antithesis of funny is Adolf Hitler. So what you're laughing at is kind of the audacity that somebody somehow would turn something that dark into comedy. And I mean, you could analyze it all day and try to figure out why? But
that's not why you're laughing. You're laughing because this is funny.
Well, with the producers, so I know you've never seen this scene.
Yeah, I know the gist of it.
The two guys in the producers, they have to produce a show that is purposely a bomb. They have sold so many shares to their Broadway show that the only way they can get out of this alive is by it closing because it's a bomb. That's the only way out for them. And then what happens is this show that they purposely make bad becomes the hit of Broadway because it's so outlandish and funny. So in particular, this scene, this Broadway dance number that's just so well orchestrated, the Springtime for Hitler. I didn't see it as a kid. I saw it later on, but my parents tell the story about how they saw it in a movie theater on the North Side. That was it's a predominantly Jewish area where the crowd is made up mostly of Jewish theatergoers, laughing so hard that they couldn't breathe. And then you take a step back from that and you go, more than likely, there's a really good chance that some of the people in that theater may have lost family members or loved ones to the Holocaust. So how do you justify that? How is that possible that we can laugh at something that so directly affects us? And I don't have the answer for that.
I saw Book of Mormon with Michael, and out of my kids, Michael is more spiritual and religious. And I will always be a Catholic. I'm never turning my back on Catholicism, nor is Michael. And there were parts of that where I laughed genuinely, and I felt guilty for laughing.
Right.
And what it is, and the only thing I can say is if it evokes laughter from your soul, then it's funny. I'm sorry. You're not using your brain to go, I shouldn't laugh at that.
Right.
You're letting go and watching this art.
I know.
So I know. I'm sorry. I'm done feeling guilty for things.
Well, it's strange because you're dancing a fine line. So last night, as they're making fun of Anne Frank and Adolf Hitler, I say to myself, most of the people on this show are Jewish. Jeff Ross is Jewish. Rachel Feinstein, who played Anne Frank, is Jewish. Gilbert Gottfried, who played Albert Einstein, is Jewish. Lovitz, who's doing FDR. So how do you get a bunch of Jewish...
Wait, Hitler, right? You said he was FDR. Playing it.
Lovitz said, played FDR.
Okay, Franklin I'm sorry.
Roosevelt.
I thought you said Albert Einstein. You said no, that Gilbert Gottfried played Einstein.
That
he was Hitler.
He was
I'm sorry.
Gilbert Gottfried was Hitler, yeah. So these are... Four, or I'm trying to remember who else was on the show. Fred Willard isn't Jewish, although Mindy Rickles is. So everybody except for one person on that show was Jewish, making fun of Anne Frank and Adolf Hitler. So you say, is there a compromise involved there?
Well, see, that's where you go. Are they making fun of Anne Frank, or are they making fun of the atrocities of what happened to her?
I think they're making fun. I think they're making fun of a lot of different things all at the same time. So you can analyze it and overanalyze it. And
right.
I did to some extent last night because I'm going, how can I be laughing at this? This is so wrong. But much like when I saw Don Rickles, you're doing that constantly going, oh, I am now laughing at all the things I hate. I'm laughing at the fact that he's making fun of Black people and Asian people and Hispanic people and Jewish people. And here I am laughing at it and loving him, loving Don Rickles. And it's hard to figure that out for me.
Again, Bill is talking about, what's it called?
It's
Historical Roast. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because as you're talking, Bill, I'm thinking, okay, it's inappropriate. There are jokes about these terrible times in history.
The worst.
But it's also a roast. And when I think back of roasts, it's like sometimes I didn't like roasts at first because it was
it's mean.
It's really uncomfortably
very mean.
So add this comedy to a roast type setting, I can only imagine. But now I have to see it.
You need to see it. It's the craziest thing. Because I can't remember a time where I felt so... Well, no, I can. It was the night that I saw Don Rickles, where I felt so guilty for enjoying myself, but boy, was I enjoying myself. Just going, this is really funny. And really, if you analyze the writing, start to finish of this thing, and it's not long, it's 30 minutes long, it's a half an hour. Jeff Ross is the primary writer of it, but he brings in other guys who are really good at what they do. And the writing is just really funny because there's nothing that they didn't... There was not a single thing about any of those people that was not touched upon, made fun of, played up. At some point, Adolf Hitler... You know how on the roast, they make fun of the other people on the panel?
Yes.
So...
That's so mean.
Gilbert Gottfried, as Adolf Hitler, goes, FDR is here! What does FDR stand for? Falls down regularly? So what are you making fun of there? He had polio.
Yeah.
You're laughing at a joke about the president having polio. That's horrible. But at the same time, it was really funny.
That one's not that funny to me, to be honest with you. That one.
There's so many of them.
I definitely have to see it.
It's jam-packed with really raunchy, horrible jokes that are really funny.
We have got the news coming up with Kim Gordon, but Molly wants to talk to us. And Molly, you want to talk to us about an interesting thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm reading a book. Isn't this terrible? It's The Importance of Being Funny by Al Guinea, who's a professor of philosophy, and I believe it's Chicago, and it was recommended on one of the WGN shows.
Oh, wow.
And it talks about concentration camp humor, and one of the ways that survivors got through was making jokes of the situation they were in.
Imagine that. Knowing that your end was so near, and the only way you can cope with it is by doing just that, having a sense of humor. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's this book, Bill, you've got to read it with your...
Sounds what's it
great.
Called again?
It is called, now I just lost it, Al Guinea is the author, and it's The Importance of Being Funny.
Oh, Bill, you should totally read
it. I
got to
find
it.
All right, I'll find that book. Thank you so much for that.
Rick Coben was the one who interviewed
him. Oh, really? All right, I'll find that, Molly. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
I mean, there is an appropriateness, but again, when somebody says something funny and you laugh, you're not thinking about it. It's a reaction. If you find it funny, why should you be faulted for that?
Right, right. I'm telling you, when you watch this, there will be guilt just cascading through you. But at the same time, you have to marvel at their ingenuity, at their bravery. And I know, look, it was the darkest period. The Holocaust, there's nothing worse. I mean, it's just the worst thing. And yet somehow, magically, it's somehow they find a way. I think it's because they're not particularly making fun of that. They're making fun of the format of, wow, we've taken something so untouchable and made fun of it. It's just, I don't know. You got to see it. Kim, do you know what I'm talking about, this show, Historical Roasts?
I've heard about it, but I haven't watched it.
I watched the Anne Frank one last night.
Okay.
And he feels really guilty, I can tell, but it was funny.
I do. I feel so guilty.
It's given me, like, an uncomfortable feeling just hearing you talk about it.
Oh. As you're punching the keys on your keypad to watch it, you're going, what am I doing? What am I doing? This is so wrong. But then you just get swept up in it, and you're watching it, and you're like, I can't believe I'm watching this. I'm laughing at things that I really should not be laughing at.
Now, Kim, you will not watch it.
I don't know. Probably not.
No.
I mean, it's like so close to me that
of course.
It might be very hard to watch.
Of course. Of course.
I don't know. If I watched it, I know I'd watch it without my husband.
Could
he
you
would
watch,
not be able to watch the it.
There's a Martin Luther King episode. There's a Freddie Mercury episode. There's an Abraham Lincoln episode.
Still not Anne Frank.
No, Anne Frank
this
is the one.
This one is really the one that shocks me.
That's the I purposely
have
went
you
for
watched the,
one. The
other ones.
No, I wanted to see that one.
Martin Luther King Jr. probably iffy on that too.
Yeah,
I'm guessing that one's going to straddle the line of offensive. I'm guessing.
We have spent our whole lives, though, trying to laugh things off.
Sure.
And I just feel like if it's a genuine reaction and you laugh, how can you be faulted for that? If I'm right. looking at a piece of artwork that creates some kind of an emotion from me, like, oh my God, I love how that looks, yeah. but maybe it's of a something that is inappropriate, how can I be faulted for that?
Right.
Well, and if you're laughing and it's funny, are you still learning something from it? Is there still some sort of message in there, or is it strictly meant to be funny?
Jeffrey Ross, do you know Jeffrey Ross? Do you know who he is? He's on all the regular roasts.
Yes, I saw him talking about it on Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
You did. He says at the very beginning, when he's setting this up, they don't bring Anne Frank out yet, he talks about how the Jewish people have had to have a sense of humor for centuries, especially under situations like World War II, you know, the camps, because that was, as our caller pointed out, that was survival. Was right. You better have a sense of humor. You're not going to make it through this. So he kind of prefaces it, and that's at the very beginning, and, you know, it turns out to be true. I know that there are people who, if they were subject to this half hour, it would be the hardest half hour in the world for
them
to watch.
Then they shouldn't watch it.
Definitely.
That's really end
Definitely.
Of the
right.
thing.
But say somebody doesn't know about Anne Frank or the Holocaust, and they're going to watch this.
Yeah.
Is it going to be just like, ha, 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 this is a joke, or are they going to walk away with something like...
There's little bits in there that...
Well, it's historical events. It's called historical roast, so they talk about some of the background, but
you're
probably not learning much.
It wouldn't be your best source.
School shouldn't be showing this in history class.
I'm guessing there'd be a lot of calls to the principal's office.
It would be interesting to show in a media class, though.
Boy, would it.
Because, I mean, it's the discussion of how far can you go?
Well, at the very beginning of this, before you came in... Without a doubt, it's the most politically incorrect thing that I can ever remember seeing on TV in my life. And I've watched a lot of TV. I don't remember seeing anything that takes it to this level.
But it's not like you're going to a show and all of a sudden a comedian whips out this Anne Frank hunk. You know what this is called. You know what this is about.
Right.
If you choose to watch it and you're offended, you turn it off.
Right.
I just feel like, you don't have to watch this if
right.
this is something that, is sensitive to you. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that's not...
Without a doubt. It's not for everybody. Believe me, it's not for everybody.
Watch it now, though.
Is it raunchy, too?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Again, it's just such a weird thing. Historical roasts. You have Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
You have Freddie Mercury, which is... I'm thinking historical roasts. I'm going way back. Not
right.
80s.
That's
70s. Anne Frank is another one. Martin Luther King Jr. Cleopatra. That would make for a nice historical roast, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And Muhammad Ali, another kind of.
That's a strange choice, also.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they picked those choices purposefully to get a rile out of people.
Yeah. I think so, too. All right. We'll take a break. Kim will give you the news, and then there's more show. Thank you, Kim. Later on in the show, I have a read for Medicare.
Oh, God, will you just please?
It's coming up.
JT Medicare. You don't know how helpful they are.
I know they're helpful. I'm going to their symposium, Wendy.
Okay,
with Orion.
You have called it everything but what
Orion
it is,
and I are
workshop.
Going to the symposium, and you're invited.
You're the one who put the symposium in my head.
We're going to have a great time, too. He said corn dogs afterwards, and we might play foosball. It's still up in the air. You coming with us or not?
No.
No stop at Jameson's?
We may stop at Jameson's for the rice pilaf. He gets the deal on the rice pilaf.
You know, people are calling you a punky little whippersnapper right now because...
Somebody called me that?
Well, no, but I'm sure they are. Because...
That's my goal, is to be a punky little whippersnapper.
I think you've achieved it.
When you're in, 64 and a half, when you're on the heels of 65,
yes.
you have to choose these Medicare things,
yep.
and if you go the wrong way, you're going to be stuck paying for it for your whole life.
I know.
I can't wait till Terry figures it out for you, because you will be confused.
I'm confused now. I'd be shocked if I wasn't confused then.
I can't get stuff to my health care provider. I've been trying to mail some claims there.
No luck?
The first time I called and they said, yeah, how long ago did you send it? And I said, 4 weeks ago. And they said, oh, we should have gotten it by now. Maybe you should mail it again.
Don't you feel like a mouse in a maze like when it comes to stuff like that?
Yeah.
Just
and
so much red tape. You just don't know how to go
so
about
now,
weaving through it.
It's for physical therapy that's out of network. So I mailed them all these sheets. Thankfully, I saved copies of them. The only reason I'm saying this is to give give you people some advice, make copies. So then this time I'm like, I'm going to send it certified mail so I can track it. And I was telling Bill this morning, I mailed it on the 13th. It's now the 19th. It was going to Chicago. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't arrived yet. Hmm. It's running late.
Hmm. That's why it's snail mail.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the post office, I don't think, the first time, but now it's like, why did I pay extra to get this certified mail? They have to sign for it. Did they not sign for it? Maybe my insurance doesn't want to reimburse me, and they say, right, I'm not signing for it. How come I can't mail my stuff to them?
Well, but how would they even know what's in it? They have to open the letter to
know. Because it's to a claims office. I mean, their particular PO box is for claims.
Right.
So, they have
to acknowledge it.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Why don't they just say denied? But it's like in limbo.
They take a long time to make a decision.
At the Evanston City Hall, where we sometimes have to go to do things.
Community service?
Well, that's separate. My community service
because
is more
you're
to
a
the state.
Punky, what did I call it?
Punky whippersnapper. Isn't that a TV show in the 70s?
No, I think it's an animal at the zoo.
That was Punky Brewster, which is coming back, I heard.
They have a drop box in front of City Hall. So if you have any City Hall related stuff, you put it in there, right?
We do that too.
It takes on average 3 to 4 days because even though it's right outside of City Hall and you'd think they could send somebody from City Hall to go and unlock
on their lunch break
and then bring it in. No, it then has to go to the mail, to the post office in Evanston. Believe me.
But you don't put a stamp on it.
No, you do not put a stamp
on
it.
Then it can't go to the post office.
Somebody from the mail service comes and sorts it out and then brings it back. Like you would say in your head, outside of the building. Because on two different occasions, I would drop stuff in, and then the next day, Terry would call to make sure that it was received, and it wasn't. And then you call the next day, and it wasn't. And then the next day, it wasn't. But then on the next day, it was. So I finally went in and go, how come twice I've dropped stuff in the box? And they go, well, sir, that doesn't come directly inside. That's taken off premises and sorted and brought back
here. Okay, but not by the post office, because there's no stamp on it. The post office wouldn't touch it.
So who's doing that?
One of the trustees.
The city? But why bring it somewhere else when you could just bring it inside?
Our maybe safety.
No, is that what it is?
Maybe they're worried that there's white powder in the envelope.
Well, that's only him sending
it. I sent some Tang.
You're a punky whippersnapper.
Right. Part of the role of being a punky whippersnapper is you got to send stuff.
I drop it off. It looks like a mailbox, and you just...
It's a drop box.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have any address on it. I just put it in an envelope.
Right.
And so there's no way to sort it. So they're lying to you.
One was for a city sticker for my daughter's car that it was due... the next day, so I go, well, I'll put it in the drop box.
Why don't you just go in? That's what I do for the stickers. You get it right there.
You would think they've got a drive-up drop box. It's what could be easier than rolling down my window, putting it in, and driving away, but they've made it harder. They've made it so it's a four-day process.
You should send
Bill,
them a copy
of
this.
You're making it harder.
No, I'm telling you, that seems crazy because honestly, I drop off the water bill in it and I just put it in an envelope.
Yes.
I don't even write on it. So there's no way anybody could go sort it.
Right.
They just go and somebody
Can't
who's running to lunch goes and answers.
Can't you do
No, it's not
online?
Some of these things. I mean, like, in the stickers for the car, I go there because then you get the sticker.
Right.
They don't have to mail it to you.
Except
and the dogs.
Now our stickers don't even go on the car anymore. Do yours?
Yeah.
Where do they go? What do you do?
They don't have
a
sticker.
Just it's banked electronically, so they know which license plates have paid for the sticker. They still call it a sticker.
I like that because peeling those things off the windshield
Like
is
that.
The worst.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Well, they're lying to you because no one sorts it. They just somebody goes and gets the drop box and brings it into the village hall. That's maybe where they sort it.
Why the 4 day wait though?
I think
they're
lying to you.
Maybe they do it every other day. Maybe they don't pick it up every day.
No, they
should.
They should send a guy every
day. Why don't you volunteer, say, for what's minimum wage? $8.25.
Yeah.
Minimum wage is $8.25. Tell them you'll go there on your way home every day.
Right.
It'll take you 15 minutes, but as long as they pay you the $8.
Then I'll do it.
Yeah.
Here's what they'll do. They'll look at my resume and they go, it says here that you're a punky whippersnapper? And I'll go, that's what my coworker says. I don't know. I would do that. If it streamlined the process, Wendy, that's what I want.
That's
maybe
ridiculous.
That's what they're looking for, though.
To streamline the process. Maybe it is.
Maybe that's a qualification.
They don't have a whippersnapper. They have an older snapper. What's the opposite of that?
There's
a
no whipper? Older snapper.
What's the opposite of a whipper?
What is the opposite of whipper?
I don't know. I don't even know why it's called that, but the word makes sense. When you say that
right,
word,
right, you little whippersnapper.
You know what that means, right. But how did that come to be?
If someone would only check the history of my Google searches, a whippersnapper is a young and inexperienced person considered to be presumptuous or overconfident.
That's me.
Synonyms of whippersnapper.
Oh, I love synonym.
Cipher, dwarf, half pint, insect.
What?
I don't think that's right.
Morsel. These are synonyms, so that means the same.
Right,
but it wasn't Snow White and the Seven Whippersnappers.
Yeah, maybe it should have been.
It would be a better movie.
Well, that's it. They're a young person who's inexperienced. The dwarfs were kind of inexperienced, weren't they?
No, they were
coal miners.
Diamond miners.
They've been around.
They had diamond mines.
A near antonym of whippersnapper, because even Merriam-Webster is having a tough time finding the opposite of whippersnapper.
So other than me, like if I said, who would be the ultimate whippersnapper, who would you think of? Dennis the Menace?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Is he the poster boy for whippersnappery?
Because the neighbor, Mr.
Wilson.
Mr. Wilson would say, I'm thinking like you young punk kind of thing.
Eddie Haskell, maybe? A little old. A little old. I feel like a whippersnapper is a younger
kid. Has to be a little younger.
The antonyms of whippersnapper, which means the opposite, would be a big shot, a big wheel, a big wig.
Well, so, I don't put those together for some reason.
Well, you didn't listen to the definition.
Think of like a goody-goody.
Yes.
Because a whippersnapper is a young and inexperienced person considered to be presumptuous or overconfident.
Do they get off into mischief, Wendy, ever?
Honestly, it doesn't seem that...
I think their days are filled with mischief, in my mind.
That's something else. I'll find it out for you.
Find out what that is, because I would like to do that part-time.
A whippersnapper is basically young, inexperienced.
Really?
You young whippersnapper.
See, I always put that in with somebody who's always...
mischievous?
Yes, more mischievous, more pulling of the
like
pranks.
Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, yes, very much like Tom Sawyer. And Huck Finn.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, both of them. But not Becky Thatcher.
No,
she was too good for that. Too smart for that, Wendy.
I can't find...
Call Merriam-Webster. Or call the guy who played Webster. I'd like to talk to Emmanuel Lewis, please. See what he's up to. Yeah, you know what? Yes, he was,
a little bit of a whippersnapper.
He was absolutely a whippersnapper.
Or I think of even like Urkel as a little
Urkel was a whippersnapper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like a mischievous kid kind of thing you're thinking of that is like someone who's waggish, prankish.
Yeah, waggish.
Puckish. Rascal.
Yeah.
What did your mom used to call you?
Well, she called me a ragamuffin, but that was more because of my attire.
Yeah, that's
she
Schleppy.
Said, Schleppy. Yes. That's my brother's name, Kim. Did you ever meet my brother Schleppy?
God.
But my mom, oftentimes if I wore clothes that she felt were inappropriate, she would say, well, you dress like a ragamuffin.
I knew what that meant. You look like a schlep.
Yeah, schlep is a good,
I thought a schlep is to bring something.
Carry something.
But that's also.
Same thing.
But you can also look schleppy.
Yeah. Because that's the clothing you would wear when hauling a heavy item, right?
Of course.
Right. Schlepware. That schlepware place in Old Orchard closed. You can't get schlepware anymore.
Schlepware. There's a pajamagram in there somewhere.
Somewhere.
I can't imagine why they closed, but a week in business and they closed their doors forever.
I guess a whippersnapper is someone who's young and inexperienced, but you're almost thinking of like a mischievous child. That's not what this is.
More of a no good Nick, Wendy, as you would often say. A no good Nick.
I have never used that term ever.
So Google
in my life.
Like a name for a mischievous child and we'll see if that fits the bill better than a whippersnapper.
I'm thinking someone in the Dennis the Menace line. But I'm having a hard time. Like you mentioned some TV people, some TV characters, but I'm trying to think of somebody in real life that would be like Who's a real life equivalent of a whippersnapper? Who would you go? Yeah, no, that guy is a total whippersnapper. Who would it be? I can't think of anybody.
Well, because I think it's a kid, so you don't really know.
It would have to be
kids.
A child.
It would have to be an actor that would be. I think they're younger.
Oh, maybe.
So,
You're thinking of like a punk. What's like a synonym of punk? Right?
Not really.
More happy-go-lucky than a punk. A punk has an agenda. No, not a hobo. No, no. There's no hobo whippersnappers.
And they're not brats either.
They're not brats.
Oh, I'm thinking brats.
They just, you know.
A hooligan?
I think a hooligan. A hooligan,
delinquent? A troublemaker?
I think a hooligan is an older whippersnapper.
So a whippersnapper would grow into being?
A hooligan.
A hooligan.
No, a whippersnapper is not bad. It's just an inexperienced young person.
Yeah, but they do things that are stupid. No. Not stupid, because...
Uninformed.
Right. Yeah, they're just not...
Because they don't know any better, Wendy.
That's a troublemaker.
Oh, interesting.
And a hooligan is someone who is a no good.
You could be both a hooligan.
Slaps things.
Yeah, right. That's a bonus.
Oh my goodness.
A hooligan is somebody like, you know, like you're a bad boy. You're a hooligan. You're a wild child.
I picture a hooligan having schmutz on his face.
Yeah.
He would have some sort of dirt on his face.
What number is he on the Hawks?
Schmutz got traded because he was a hooligan. He was always in the penalty box for hooliganery. So they had to trade him. They traded him for a no good neck.
Oh, I should have gone to the bathroom before he made me laugh. God. Oops. Getting old.
That's why American Weather Makers does not want to sponsor us. They do not want to, Wendy.
Yes,
there's a contract, so we're forcing them, but they do not want us.
Our goal for tomorrow is to find out exactly, precisely who, like, you want to know who is a whippersnapper.
Classic whippersnapper.
Right.
All right, I'll have that answer for you tomorrow.
Tomorrow we'll know. All right, good.
All right.
All right, we'll figure that out. Kim, thank you for staying. I wouldn't have, but you did. I don't know why. All right, we'll close things off next.
Gunnery?
You got some schmutz on your jacket.
We'll close things off in a minute.
All right. It's time for us to go.
Yes, it is, Wendy.
If I may. Eloy, Eloy, Eloy. Eloy, Eloy, Eloy. Come on, White Sox. Eloy Jimenez. He beat the Cubs yesterday.
Are you proud of yourself?
Yes, I am. I'm a hooligan.
You are a hooligan.
I'm looking to be a whippersnapper.
Wow. Fill out your forms.
A whippersnider.
Yep. A whippersnider. Wow. A subset that I never thought of. All right, we'll take a little break, and then we'll come back in 23. We'll take a big break. We'll come back in a few weeks for another episode of the Bonus Hour. Bye, Wendy.
See ya, Bill.